Tonight, we will talk about the benefits of justification. Romans 5:1-5 is our passage this night. We see that Paul was writing to the Romans, and he looks back at the work of God in their lives. He had never at this point in his life been to Rome, but it is evident from chapter 16 that he had many friends there. We don't know who planted the church at Rome. It is likely that it was begun by some of the people who had been in Jerusalem at Pentecost. Notice that Paul declares in his letter to the Romans. The great theme in Romans is justification through grace by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Augustine, Luther, Wesley, our pastor Spencer, and even me, myself, we were converted through this letter of Paul to Romans. Maybe you as well. The devil once tried to discourage Martin Luther by making him feel guilty through accusing him with a list of his sins. When the devil had finished, Luther said, "Think hard. You must have forgotten some." And the devil did think, and he listed more sins. When he was done listing the sins, Luther said, "Now, with a red pen, write over that list the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." The devil had nothing to say. In justification, not only our sins cleansed, but we also have put our account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is wonderful. This evening, we will look at four of the benefits of the justification. The first one is peace with God. Paul begins chapter 5 with the word "therefore." This means he is drawing a conclusion. He was been talking about justification by God's grace through faith. Paul has called on you to trust God's power to remove your sin and raise you to new life through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells you that trusting in Jesus Christ in this way will bring you peace with God. The Bible tells you that before you are justified, you are at war with God. You rebel against His rule. You resist His ways. And you want the universe to revolve around yourself. On the other side of the battle, God hates sin and must punish those who commit sin with His fierce wrath. Justification through the Lord Jesus Christ puts an end to the hostilities. God's wrath is satisfied in the death of the perfect Son of God on the cross. The resurrection of Jesus Christ shows that His sacrifice on the cross was acceptable to the Lord. When you turn to Jesus Christ, you no longer fight against God. You turn to Him. You repent. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who brings you and God together. When you have faith in Him, when you exercise your faith in Him, then He gives you peace with God. And He is the one who keeps the peace. Please notice that this peace with God is not given to everyone. It is only the person who is justified by faith that can have true peace with God. Those who are trying to find this peace on their own will finally fail. They can protest against war. They can work in the United Nations. They can take drugs or alcohol. They try to do so many things to lessen their anxiety, but they will not obtain peace with God apart from the work of Jesus Christ. Well, the first benefit of the justification is peace with God. The second blessing or benefit of justification is access to God, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, in verse 2. From the time Adam and Eve were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, man and woman have been denied the intimate access with God that Adam and Eve had. This was pictured most clearly by the design of the temple in the Old Testament. There was a heavy curtain that stood between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. The people were not granted access to God. The curtain effectively said, "Keep out." When the Lord Jesus Christ died and satisfied the wrath of God, that curtain was torn from the top to bottom, as if torn by God Himself. It was a symbolic act that showed that access had been granted. Paul tells you that you have gained access to grace. The word for access has a formality to it that indicates that this is more of an introduction. The picture is of Jesus Christ bringing you into the presence of the Father. The word that Paul uses for stand indicates something secure. You have been granted the continuing access that comes from being a child of God. You are invited to enter His presence at any time. No appointment necessary. One, you have peace with God. Number two, we have access to God. And now, our third point, we have hope in God's glory. The third thing Paul tells you is that because our justification through faith, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 2. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, you are able to look past this world in your anticipation for the next. You get excited when you think about meeting the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Remember when you were a child and how he used to anticipate Christmas? It may have been months away, but you dreamed about what you might find under the tree. When the Christmas advert comes out each year, maybe in September, we spent hours looking at the wonderful treasures that lay ahead of you. That's the kind of anticipation of joy. They believe, me and you, we should have about of heaven. How should the idea of the hope of glory excite you? Well, I have so many ideas. I have so many questions. When I will be there in the heaven? First of all, I will ask Adam. Adam, how do you lose the perfect paradise? Eve, how did you disobey God twice. Because God said to you, don't touch the fruit. And don't eat as well. You touch and eat. Noah, how did you feed so many animals? Daniel, how did you sleep with lions? And the king could not sleep on the palace. What's happened? I have so many questions. Peter, how did you, would you like to do 3 tents? One for Jesus, another one for Moses, another one for Elijah. How did you know that? They don't have a picture, isn't it? Peter, how was your secret? One sermon, 3,000 people converted. In London Seminary, we must to preach 3,000 for one converted. We need to know this, your secret. Paul, who wrote Hebrews? Me and Pastor think was you. But some of them, I don't know. Paul, what was your, it's very old, very hard word, thorn in your flesh? Rose, bone in your flesh. How should the idea of hope, of glory, excite you? You are beyond the condemnation. You are delivered from the law. You are near to God. You are delivered from the power of evil. You are a member of the kingdom. You are justified. You have access to God at any moment. You are a part of His priesthood. You will never be abandoned. You have an imperishable inheritance. You are a partner with a Christ in life and privilege, suffering, and service. You are a member of His body, branch in the vine, stone in the beyond, bride for the groom, priest, the new generation, dwelling place of the Spirit. Wrap your mind around some of those things and see if it doesn't make your anticipation of heaven is great. This is our assurance, our certificate of guarantee. In the past, you have peace with God. In the present, we have access to God. In the future, we have hope of the glory of God, but now as well. And in our last point today, we have joy. Joy. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Because of this new perspective, you have a whole different attitude toward the trials of life. Paul says you can rejoice in your tribulations. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and the perseverance character, and the character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. There are sometimes things that are painful in the life of a Christian, but still you can rejoice in them because you believe God has a purpose in allowing them in your life. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to trust God. You know He is in control. You know that He loves you. And you know that He never makes a mistake. Consequently, in the hard times, you rejoice because you know God. He's doing something that is for His glory and your good. If this is true, then there are questions we can ask ourselves. How are we doing when things go bad for us? Are we resting in the grace of God and experiencing joy in God? Do we forget the grace of God and overflow with complaining? Became self-absorbed and critical instead of joy, of loving. Rejoice in suffering is not simple. Keeping a steep upper lip. Many people feel that if they do that, they are fulfilling the word of God and rejoicing in suffering. But that is not it. There are unbelievers who can do that. Neither is Paul saying that we merely are to pretend that we are happy. Some think this passage is saying that when you are out in public, you should put your artificial smile and act happy. When inside your heart is hurting like crazy, that is not it. Christianity is never false. Phoniness of any kind is a false Christianity. Being a Christian means trusting in God from the heart. So we rejoice because through faith in Jesus Christ, we are right with God. You have peace with God. You have access to God. You have hope of the glory of God. It is possible today that you are here in this service of worship, but you lack peace, intimacy, and the confidence of God in your daily living. Are you sincere, but still insisting that you can do it by yourself? Are you still trying to be good enough, pure enough, kind enough, faithful enough to earn a place in heaven? If so, you'll not find the peace and the joy. You are looking for until you stop trying to save yourself and instead trust in Jesus Christ to save you. Perhaps you are a believer. You are trusted in Jesus Christ. Is it possible that today your focus is misplaced? Are you so focused on the hardship of the journey that you are missing out on the benefits? Do you understand what a great gift God has extended to you? You need to open your eyes and enjoy the wonder of being His child. As a child of God, you should take advantage of the access that has been extended to you. You should be a person who has an eternal longing as you dream about the incredible wonder of heaven. Our desire, our prayer is so go home tonight in peace. God has declared that through Jesus Christ you are forgiven and declared once for all righteous in His sight. You are reconciled to God. God is your friend. He is on your side. Christian, you have every reason to rejoice. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for you declared us righteous. We thank you for you sent your beloved Son to die for us in our place. Thank you, Lord, because you not wait for us to take the first step to back to you, but you has intervened in your act of pure grace and mercy to provide a way for us to come back to you in Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. Let's sing a praise hymn 685. I hear the words of love, I gaze upon the blood. Let's sing praise. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.